Welcome, welcome, my friends, to this week's Thanksgiving podcast. Whether you're listening to this on Thanksgiving Day or sometime over the weekend, I hope I could wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And although we are separated and not able to be with most of our family during this holiest of days, I hope that you are finding a way to connect, either by phone or by Zoom or in some way connecting with family and friends. It may be a different tradition this year, but it's a good one that we help keep each other safe. And we'll begin today by listening to a great piece of music by Belinda, our music director, as she plays I Want Jesus to Walk With Me, a traditional hymn from the African-American spiritual tradition. There's no record of this spiritual in very early collections. In fact, the first time it's ever published is in a book called Old Songs and Hymnals, in 1929. So where it came from, we don't know. Who wrote it, we do not know. But it's a beautiful hymn. So we'll start with our call to worship. I want Jesus to walk with me. Today's Thanksgiving scripture reading is from a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. As a matter of fact, it's the second letter that we have a record of that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and so we uncreatively call it 2 Corinthians. And this is from the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, just a little tiny snippet of part of a letter that Paul wrote to the church to talk about generosity and thanksgiving. So today's scripture reading is perfect for Thanksgiving because it draws a direct parallel between generosity and thanksgiving. Listen to 2 Corinthians, beginning with the 6th verse of the 9th chapter. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, He scatters abroad, He gives to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Today's Thanksgiving hymn is by Ann Hills, a wonderful folk artist from the Northeast who's still singing even today. This comes from an album called Woman of a Calm Heart, which was released in 1978. And I can't offer this album with more accolades. This is an amazing album, Woman of a Calm Heart from 1978. If you've never heard it, make sure you look it up and listen to it. And today's Thanksgiving hymn is called May the Light of Love. And May the Light of Love is a wonderful rendition of a Thanksgiving hymn, as if we're just sitting down around a table with our family and friends, and we all get to sing this song together. I have a special affection for Ann Hills as a singer and folk musician, because a group I was in once years ago got to open for her at a concert in a very small venue in rural Pennsylvania. So here is today's hymn by Ann Hills. It's simply called May the Light of Love.
As we come around to take our places at the table, a moment to remember and reflect upon our wealth. Here's to loving friends and family, here's to being able to gather here together in good company and health. May we be released from all those feelings that would harm us. May we have the will to give them up and get them gone. For heavy are the satchels full of anger and false promise. May we have the strength to put them down. And may the light of love be shining deep within your spirit. May the torch of mercy clear the path and show the way. May the horn of plenty sound so everyone can hear it. May the light of love be with you every day. Best for everyone that we encounter. May we swallow pride and may we do away with fear. For it's only what we do not know that we have grown afraid of, and only what we do not choose to hear. And may the light of love be shining deep within your spirit. May the torch of mercy clear the path and show the way. May the horn of plenty sound so everyone can hear it. May the light of love be with you every day. And as we bless our daily bread and drink our day's libation, may we be reminded of the lost and wayward soul, the hungry and the homeless that we have in every nation. May we fill each empty cup and bowl. May nothing ever come between or threaten to divide us. May we never take for granted all the gifts that we receive, being ever mindful of the unseen hands that guide us and the miracles that cause us to believe. And may the light of love be shining deep within your spirit. May the torch of mercy clear the path and show the way. May the horn of plenty sound so everyone can hear it. May the light of love be with you every day. Yes, may the light of love be shining deep within your spirit. May the torch of mercy clear the path and show the way. May the horn of plenty sound so everyone can hear it. May the light of love be with you every day.
I really love that Thanksgiving hymn by Ann Hills, especially the last verse, where the lyrics tell us, as we bless our daily bread and drink our day's libation, may we be reminded of the lost and wayward soul, the hungry and the homeless that we have in every nation. May we fill each empty cup and bowl. I love that sentiment, the idea that part of Thanksgiving is giving. It's not just giving thanks, it's also giving. And Paul has a special take on that as well. I know that often in this time of year, we are looking at Thanksgiving and trying to understand what we have to give thanks for. Oh, we have food to eat, and we have family to see on Zoom or on the phone, or perhaps we'll see them online in some way. But it just seems different, doesn't it? This Thanksgiving is difficult because for most of us, we have to be separated from those we love. For most of us, it is not an easy Thanksgiving. For some of us, we have lost our jobs, and all of a sudden, Thanksgiving looks like a daunting task. One of the things that's happening in the church where I'm serving now is they're serving nearly 3,000 takeout meals through a company in town here that's providing all the food and the volunteers to put all these meals together so that on Thanksgiving, they'll be able to deliver more than 3,000 meals to people in the town in which we live. We're also hosting a Thanksgiving meal on a much smaller scale on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, where we'll offer the turkey and all of its fixings, complete with pumpkin pie, and those who are able, with masks on, 10 feet apart, will be able to come and even do a little socializing, which for many people who are having food insecurities, they also have social insecurities. They haven't really talked to anyone for so long, and they're very lonely. So we're careful, but we also provide a place where people can come. And then we have bags of food that we're able to give to some people who can cook at home but don't have the means to buy the food to cook. And so they can get a turkey and all the trimmings and fixings in a bag like they would get from the grocery store, provided by the local group that is a combination of all the churches and synagogues and faith communities in our town. It is a real time of giving, and that's a big portion of Thanksgiving. While I talk about these things, it is also important to note that from time to time, someone will say to me, "Oh, I have much to give thanks for, and I even give thanks for the bad things." Now, that's hard for me, to look around at some things that are happening and give thanks, to look at systemic racism and give thanks, to look at people who have lost their jobs and not found any way to be supported. That's hard to give thanks for as well. To look at thousands, hundreds of thousands, losing their life to a pandemic. That's hard to give thanks for as well. And when Paul tries to tackle the issue of how we ought to be giving thanks, he uses as his text Psalm number 112. And in the second letter that he sends to the church in Corinth, He is using Psalm number 112 as a way to understand the direct connection between thanksgiving and generosity. It's not something we think of very often. When we give thanks for enough food on the table, we give thanks for a roof over our heads, we give thanks for the means that we have to pay our bills, we give thanks for our families, we give thanks for our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones. But just for a moment, here during this Thanksgiving week, I'd like us to ponder what Paul pondered so many years ago, the connection between generosity and thanksgiving, so that we might actually be able to give thanks to be able to be generous. Give thanks for the opportunities that God gives us to be generous to those around us. In that case, although we're not giving thanks for the pandemic per se, we are giving thanks for the opportunities that have arisen around us to be generous, to give to other people, to step in and help. And it's that generosity that Paul talks about as he speaks and uses his text from Psalm number 112. Now, Psalm 112 is all about the person who is righteous with God. And they have a long laundry list of ways in which the righteous person can be known. They delight in the commandments of the Lord. Their descendants prosper in the land in which they live. They have wealth and riches, which is a surprising attribute of those who love the Lord. But there it is in Psalm 112. They rise in the darkness as the light for all of those around them. And then, as part of that laundry list, listen to this. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. They distribute freely to the poor. They have given to the poor. And thus, their righteousness and thanksgiving endures forever. They give thanks because they have the opportunity to freely distribute to the poor. They are righteous in God's eyes because they have taken the gift of generosity and given thanks for it. The point is this, Paul says, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of us must make up our minds, not reluctantly or under compulsion. No one can make you feel this, but God loves a cheerful giver, and God then is able to provide you with blessings in abundance so that when you share, when you're generous, you have much to give thanks for. Imagine that. Instead of giving thanks for our food, instead of giving thanks for the roof over our head, instead of giving thanks for our family and friends, instead of giving thanks for some of the horrible things that have happened to us this year, we go beyond that kind of thanksgiving, and we use thanksgiving as a time to give thanks that God allows us to be generous. This idea of giving thanks for the ability to be generous puts a whole new spin on thanksgiving for me this year. And I've run across a number of stories that have come across my desk in the past few months, some of which I need to share with you. In New Jersey, for instance, there was an article in the state newspaper that was talking about a woman and her 10-year-old daughter and their 18-year-old disabled son who had lost their job during the pandemic and had lost their health insurance because it was tied to the job that she had. She didn't have any ability to get another job because she didn't have enough money to pay for childcare, both for her disabled 18-year-old son and for her 10-year-old daughter. So the newspaper article interviewed her, and a few people pitched in and helped her find some places that she could apply for jobs. But she couldn't get the job for about 10 weeks. And then all of a sudden she got a call from the Garden State Motel. Someone had stopped by anonymously at the Garden State Motel just outside the town where she lived in New Jersey, and they had paid for her to live there for 4 months. Sound familiar? A little bit like the Good Samaritan story that we read in the Bible, where he goes to the inn and pays for it and tells the innkeeper when he comes back, he'll pay for anything else the innkeeper needs to take care of the man who was beaten up by the side of the road. But this is a 21st century story in New Jersey, of all places. The Garden State Motel became the location where someone paid for months so this woman and her family could live in safety and warmth over a period of time before she could get her new job. Another story involves a man named James Robertson in Detroit. He found himself in the spotlight after people learned of his daily commute through a local news coverage. The 56-year-old man would walk 21 miles and take two bus rides to get to his factory job, which earned him $10.55 an hour. The hellish commute left Robertson just a couple of hours for sleep each day, and the Detroit Free Press reported on his story. Well, there was a 19-year-old college student, and he heard about the dilemma, and he started a crowdfunding project on GoFundMe.com to buy Robertson a car. And then donors ended up giving more than $350,000. And then, on top of all that, a Ford dealership gave him a brand new Taurus car. Robertson said they brought him into the dealership and said he could have any car he wanted, and he picked the Taurus because it's like me, simple on the outside, he said, and strong on the inside. And now, Robertson will be coached by several unpaid financial advisors on how to handle this $350,000 windfall. And what's the first thing he did? He took 10% of it and gave it to a homeless shelter. And then there's the story about a Texas man named Larry Clark. He stopped by at a Chicken Express drive-thru after a busy day of holiday shopping last December. And when he went to pay for his meager meal, he found out that his credit card was declined. It seemed he had done so much shopping that day for Christmas that the credit card company got alarmed and put his spending on hold. He certainly had the means to pay for his meal, but he couldn't do it because he had no cash and the credit card had been declined. Well, there was a young cook, catch this, working for minimum wage back in the kitchen, who overheard the whole conversation and called the clerk back to the kitchen under some other ruse and told him he would use his own credit card to pay for that man's meal. Clark gathered together a group of people, including the cook's parents, at the restaurant nearly 2 months later to say thank you to that cook for his small act of generosity. And he gave in return, he gave that cook a $50 gift certificate. And the cook said, why did you do that? And Clark said, I just wanted to make sure you knew that you were just being a good guy, and I don't want you to ever stop being that generous. And here's another at a grocery store in Oklahoma. A woman named Beth Hughes had gone shopping for her holiday meals last year, and when she did so, she stopped with all three of her children to buy the groceries. The children were a little bit unruly. I know that I've been through that many times in my life, taking an unruly child to the grocery store who probably doesn't want to be there, and you have to finish grocery shopping even though they're throwing a fit. Well, all three of her children were throwing fits and tantrums, and when she got to the checkout, she was fumbling through her purse to find her credit card to pay for the groceries when the man behind her stepped up without saying a word, put his card in the machine, pushed all the appropriate buttons, took the card back and said, looks like you've been through a lot today. The least I can do is pay for your groceries. It was a $214 grocery bill. Not the end of the world, to be sure. But by doing that, she said she was so shocked, she can't even remember if she said thank you to the man. After he pulled his card out, he left without saying another word. She has no idea who it was, or how to find him, or how to thank him. It was just one of those random acts of kindness in which the man was giving thanks for the ability to be generous. That's all Paul is talking about during this season of Thanksgiving. That's all any of us are talking about during this season of Thanksgiving. We do have a lot to be thankful for. We can be thankful for the food on our table, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. We can be thankful for the fact that most of us have a roof over our head, and that's something to give thanks for. We can be thankful for the fact that either we haven't lost our jobs or we're retired and we don't need our jobs anymore. All of those things are good things to give thanks for. But instead of bemoaning the fact of all the things that we don't have to give thanks for, like being together with our families this year, or being able to travel, or even looking forward to Christmas, none of those things are probably happening for most of us during the pandemic. But there is something new to give thanks for. As Paul says, to give thanks for the ability to be generous. If God has given you enough that even a few dollars on the side can be used for someone else, that's worth giving thanks for. So this year, if you gather around a table with family and friends, if you're able to gather around a table with a computer set up at the table for a Zoom broadcast or a Facebook connection, if you gather around the table with your phone connected to people all over the country that are your family and friends, whatever your means of gathering this year, I hope you'll take just a moment to give thanks that God allows us to be generous, to give thanks for the fact that we can give to others, for that is a great gift indeed. And so, as Anne Hill so appropriately puts it in her beautiful hymn, as we bless our daily bread and drink our day's libation, may we be reminded of the lost and wayward soul, the hungry and the homeless that we have in every nation. May we fill each empty cup and bowl. May nothing ever come between or threaten to divide us. May we never take for granted all the gifts that we receive, being ever mindful of the unseen hands that guide us and the miracles that cause us to believe. May the light of love be shining deep within your spirit. May the torch of mercy clear the path and show the way. May the horn of plenty sound so everyone can hear it. May the light of love be with you every day. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, as I offer this benediction. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rains fall soft upon your fields. And may God hold you in the palm of his hand. God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Amen. The service here is ended. May we go in peace. Amen.